This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Jackbox. Get five hilarious party games in the Jackbox Party Pack from the creators of You Don't Know Jack, now on Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Steam, and more. Go to jackboxgames.com for more info. And I'd like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking us up with that sweet, sweet, sweet sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of truly amazing podcasts, all from the city of Chicago. Go to chicagopodcastcoop.com for more info.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I love this episode.
No?
This is a very good one in my book.
Dude, it was kind of boring.
Yeah, maybe, but I like the time ones.
I know you like the time ones.
I like when it's like a repeating pattern. How do we figure this out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Just don't do whatever they did in the future. That's usually what the answer
but
is.
But if you know what they did in the future, that means last time you knew what you did in the future, and then you're not going to be able to do it.
They
the
had
same
this,
outcome.
Yeah,
is
they had
happen.
This conversation for 45 minutes. It's pretty much what Times Squared is. That's the episode, by the way, we're talking about. Times Squared.
I like it. I don't. Is it a pun? Is that supposed to be a pun?
I don't
New
know.
New York City's Times Square?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That New York didn't really come up. Does New York still exist in Star Trek universe?
They
never mentioned
it, right?
I guess so.
I don't know. I really...
Paris is there. San Francisco is there. Yeah.
New York. It's probably a shithole, though.
Right.
Yeah.
New Orleans is still there, though.
Yeah, totally. New Orleans. So it's probably fine.
It's probably fine.
And great. It wouldn't be a shithole because there's no want for anything.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone would be like actors, musicians.
Yeah. You just do whatever job that you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Professional podcasters. There's a lot of professional podcasters
in
the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, that'd be a dream. All right, I got a fun fact about this episode.
Okay.
This is the very first time we see the Enterprise D be destroyed.
Really?
Yeah, we haven't seen it blow up yet.
Oh, you know, I was thinking that we did, but that was the Yamato.
Yep. First time.
Huh.
Heavens more.
Well, I got a couple headlines from the day. This came out April 3rd, 1989. So one of the big things that just happened last week was the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Oh, yes.
So massive oil tanker. For those of you that don't remember this, it crashed off a reef or something in Alaska. It spilled huge amounts of oil on the beach in Alaska.
That's an exact amount. Huge!
Huge. I don't know the exact number, but before the Deepwater Horizon thing, I think that was the largest amount. One of the headlines says, oil skipper had alcohol on breath, officer says. So Captain Joseph Hazelwood, one of the big things that came out for years and years after was that he was drunk at the time. Everyone knew that he had an alcohol problem, and that was a thing was blamed on, but he was cleared of that in 1990. He went to trial, and it turned out he wasn't drunk enough to wreck a ship at the time, but probably should not have been drinking on the job at all.
Right.
And he got a $50,000 fine, and he had to do a whole bunch of community service. The other major headline that, and I'm only bringing this up because the Cubs are in the World Series, I guess.
I watched the game last
night. I did too.
It was fun.
I'm actually going for the Cubs so they can't do this lovable loser shit anymore.
Yeah, and
it's a long time coming.
Yeah, totally.
They deserve it. But the Cleveland Indians are also in the World Series.
That's right.
April 3rd, 1989, people are eagerly anticipating a little movie called Major League, in which the fictional Cleveland Indians go to the World Series, led by Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger.
Aren't the White Sox the bad guys in that movie?
Or the Yankees.
The Yankees are. I think the White Sox are the bad guys in Major League 2.
So, anyway, Major League, famous sports movie
yeah.
that is reflecting real life right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes, he was in the first
one. That's right, yeah.
Yeah! He was awesome in it.
Who was the guy that played the Santeria dude? Every time I go back and look at Major League, I'm just like, wow, this is crazy offensive.
Yeah, well, it's super stereotypical.
Right, and it's also just like, oh, everyone in the crowd here is in a headdress and red face.
Mm-hmm.
And they still do that in real life.
Well, and all the non-American players were like
stereotypes.
And,
yeah. This is back when people were still fascinated by the others. Like, all these people with Spanish names are playing baseball.
Yeah.
That was
it's so commonplace.
Of course, yeah. Baseball would not exist without that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of time loops,
mm-hmm.
let's get into this episode.
Yeah. Time squared.
Yeah.
Still not sure if that's a pun, but
but it was a lot of fun.
Not really.
Oh, come on.
Well, agree to disagree. Yeah, so it starts up. This was kind of funny. Anytime it opens on Riker, I always laugh just because Riker in his day-to-day normal life is just so goofy and funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, the ship is going to the Endercore system or whatever. I don't even think they even say why. It doesn't matter.
No.
But Riker is busy in his chambers or whatever, you know, singing some jazz to himself and making some eggs.
Yeah, he's cooking, man.
Yeah, he's...
he's having a good time. He's got personality.
Yeah, it's, I guess, his hobby.
It is.
Data, LaForge, and Worf and Pulaski come in, and they're eagerly awaiting his famous omelets or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to explain to Data that, yeah, you know, this isn't the most efficient way to do it, but humans like to cook, and it's a social activity. And we learn a little bit about Riker that he used to have to cook for his dad because his mom wasn't there and his dad was terrible at cooking and hated doing it.
Yep. A little glimpse into his past.
Yeah. And one of the things that I noticed is they keep talking about how, oh, these are his famous omelets. And he makes scrambled eggs. They are not omelets.
I know. Yeah, it's totally scrambled eggs.
There is
eggs.
Nothing in them.
Yeah, and he breaks
them
apart.
Just, he doesn't even put milk in the scrambled eggs, which you have to do. And he just puts an egg on a hot plate and serves it to people.
They don't cook that much in the future, right?
For God's sake, just
so
use the replicator.
Cooking. The fact that he even knows how to heat up a pan is remarkable.
Well, he's going on about, like, you know, Data, the difference is there's flair with cooking.
And he adds no flair to it.
I'm going to put hot eggs on a dorm room plate.
Did he put, like, salt or garlic or anything?
No, absolutely nothing.
Wow.
And they were, like, O1 eggs. I don't know what the hell that is. It's probably some, like, insect egg he found. And it's everyone hates it. It's like, this is disgusting, except for Worf, who, as we know, Klingon food is not normally what human beings would eat.
That was a good laugh.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I think not in the way that they intended it. Because all I'm thinking is like, man, these future people can't cook.
So have you noticed a distinct change in the openings of Star
Trek?
Yeah,
it's like the cold opens are a little more, I think now that they're more comfortable with the characters.
Yeah. Well, they used to do it on like, oh no, something's exploded. And then they'd start the episode. But now it's a little character video.
Yeah, yeah. You get a little, like them playing poker or whatever.
Yeah.
Or fencing in the holodeck.
Yeah, the downtime right before the adventure starts, not the start of the adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is interrupted because Riker has to report to the bridge. There's some shuttlecraft just floating out in space. They're in the middle of nowhere, by the way, and correct me if I'm wrong here, shuttles can't warp.
No.
They're like lifeboats.
Right, exactly. So they'll last a while,
right?
But you could like die of old age in one before you get home,
right?
Yeah.
So you know what the hell is it doing here? And yeah, they see this thing floating out in space, and they go down to the. It's not really an airlock. Do they have like force fields? Is that what is keeping the vacuum of space out? Okay. So go down to the bay, the shuttle bay, and they're tractoring this thing in. And the markings on it read USS Enterprise D. Well, that's weird. You know, I don't know. They didn't, it's like, well, no one sent out a shuttle or anything, did they? Then they see another one also reading USS Enterprise D.
The one that's parked there right now.
The other one that they have.
Here we go! And we're messing with time!
It's both the same shuttle, the Elbaz.
Yeah.
So they have the Elbaz, it's there where it's supposed to be, and then this other one, the exact same one, just came in. What is going on here? And then they open it up, and there's Captain Picard, unconscious, maybe dead, we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's super weird.
He looks really drained.
Yeah, he looks like he's a vampire or something.
Yeah, he does. Happy Halloween.
Boo. So Dr. Pulaski comes down. She's
Picard.
Right, she's examining Spooky Picard. And everything about this is wrong. Like, she says he has a heartbeat, but no pulse. Mm-hmm. His brain waves are all over the place. Deanna Troi can't really pick anything from him. And Picard is there too, examining himself, and I think it's really interesting that he refers to him as him, like as a separate being.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Because like for all he knows, it's like, yeah, this is a completely different life form.
Right.
And that's how I'm gonna treat it. Because otherwise, that is too weird to think about.
He immediately looks really disturbed by it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The whole time
this is bizarre.
This puts him in his head.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean who wouldn't?
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he orders Geordi and Data to, is like, okay, we need the logs from the shuttle, figure out what happened. Do what you got to do to make this work.
Yeah.
Because it's not turning on. And there's this long sequence.
It's very long.
Dude, it's super boring.
Yeah, when they're figuring out how to get
They're just talking like Star Trek techno gibberish. And the crux of it is, you do the opposite of whatever you would do to make a shuttle work.
Mm-hmm.
It works on here.
Right. Which is cool. So that's what they established.
Yeah, but it took 10 minutes. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, all we need to know, because I don't understand what any of this shit means.
No.
All they needed to say was like, yeah, you just do the opposite of whatever you would do.
Right.
And that works for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And which explains the twist ending.
Right, it does. But
which is a great twist ending.
Yeah, but it takes forever to
the
get
the moral implications. Okay, I'm not going to say what it is. I'm just saying.
I know. We got to keep people in suspense here. So,
because it takes a long time to get there.
It does, yeah. So that works. You know, they got the shuttle. They're able to get the records. Meanwhile, in sick bay, Pulaski is examining Spooky Picard, the other Picard that they found, and they can't really get anything out of him. Like, he's not conscious, and even if he was, he would be in another dimension.
Yeah.
But they know this is him. Like, Deanna Troi tells Captain Picard, like, this is you. I don't know how to explain this, but this is you. This is not a different being.
Right. And basically, your insides are scrambled.
Yeah.
Just like those eggs Riker made.
Just like, yeah, those omelets. People in the future don't know what an omelet is.
No, because they never cook, so the bar on good cooking is so much lower, or at least cooking know-how.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that we find in the sick bay is Pulaski tries to give him a stimulant, and it has the opposite effect of what a stimulant
what?
Does. Yeah.
We couldn't see that coming!
Yeah. And
that theme hasn't been established yet.
Yeah, so as Geordi and Data are, I guess, downloading stuff off the shuttle, one of the things that they notice is the star date in the chronometer is 6 hours ahead.
Yep.
So it's 6 hours ahead of the Enterprise. That shouldn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that tells us something big is happening in
unless
6 hours.
Unless something happened with time.
What?
Squared. So.
Did the ball drop?
I guess so. So Pulaski,
did you go to the M&M store?
Oh, yeah. Is the M&M store still there in the future?
I don't know. It's gotta
Do they
be.
Still have Guy Fieri's restaurant? Did they get rid of that in the socialist utopia of Star Trek?
Or, no way!
All right.
You gotta go to Flavortown.
I hope not.
I think Flavortown would be a socialist government.
Yeah, yeah. A Flavortown has to exist. All of that's, I mean, look what they're eating.
Oh, totally.
Scrambled eggs? That's not Flavortown.
No. You gotta go to Flavortown.
Right.
And that's where you get all the hot sauce and cheese.
Yeah, man.
Fat.
Replicator, make me a Bloomin' Onion with horsey sauce.
Yeah, how come no one's eating Bloomin' Onions
right.
in the future?
I assume you can't get fat in Star Trek, so
no
it'd just
way.
Be like, I'd be like, Replicator, Bloomin' Onion. Another Bloomin' Onion.
Oh, yeah.
Bloomin' onion, horsey sauce, hot.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, something way more boring and stupid is going on in the real show. Pulaski kind of wakes up Future Picard, but, you know, as I said, he's super disoriented. He doesn't know what the hell is
horrifying.
Going on.
Horrified!
Yeah, it's whatever. He's trapped in some nightmare.
Yeah.
He's effectively in another dimension, and he can't communicate. Regular Picard has to figure out what's going on. So they go to the conference room. They got a little staff meeting. Geordi and Data are showing the log, and it's just like whatever the camera from the shuttlecraft has. It's leaving the shuttle, and then we see a view of the Enterprise D. Some lightning or something hits it, and it blows up.
Yeah, we see Picard too,
we see Riker in the shuttle bay.
Riker standing in the shuttle bay.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that's and they have like this audio recording, like a captain's log from the Picard that showed up, and
Spooky Picard.
Yeah, and it is like, oh, I saw the Enterprise blow up. That's super messed up. They really have no other information but that.
Right.
And I did think that the conversation that followed was kind of interesting because it's all about like predestination or, you know, how does time work? Because is this destined to happen? Like, is this fate? What do we do to avoid this? We have no idea.
Right. And you can't, because whatever you would have done to avoid it, you've already done, because you're in like a time loop, so you've already seen this happen before.
Yeah.
So any decision you make is the right/wrong choice.
Yeah, so what they ultimately decide on doing is like, well, whatever happens kind of happens, and we're already set on this course of inalterable events. So
yeah, you can't fear the future.
Right. We got to just keep doing what we're doing, and if we ever notice that, like, we know that the one thing that happened is Picard left.
Right.
So if we ever get to that point, don't leave. That's all we know. But other than that, there's not much we can do. We have limited information. We're just going to try to not make the ship blow up.
Yeah, Data keeps saying that, too.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's hypothesizing,
and Data's
like,
just like,
not
I don't. Yeah, I don't know enough. And that's what he's saying when he's trying to turn the shuttle on, too.
Yeah.
And they just have to wait until you get enough information, and then you can act decisively. But before then, you just got to kind of stay the course. So that's what they decide to do.
Right. How awesome is this scene?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good scene.
Yeah.
So
worth watching.
But as they're moving closer to the point where the other mirror universe Picard came in, the internal like time clock is kind of synchronizing, and he's getting more and more present.
Right. Sort of. I have no understanding.
I don't know understand how this works, because wouldn't he still be moving forward in time? Like, he'd always be 6 hours ahead.
Right, exactly. So why would his internal clock change at all? And
maybe it's because he's in the present. I'm not sure.
See, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, because something would have had to have started it.
Right.
And then at the point it started, the further he gets from that point, his internal time clock gets scattered, right?
Yeah, they kind of explain
now, like,
it
when
as
you
if,
go through it, and even in the future, would he have like future
I mean,
effects of that?
They kind
of
explain it as if he's like waking up from jet lag. That's
yeah,
all.
It is.
That's pretty much it.
It's space jet lag.
Space jet lag.
Space time jet lag.
but all of he's still not able to talk. All that it means is Troy is able to get like base desires from him, and all she's able to say is like, he just really wants off the ship.
Right.
That's all I know.
He's got to go.
Right. But we know that if he goes, then bad stuff happens.
Right, because it could be that Picard who left.
Right.
Maybe. It takes him a while to figure that part out. But we figured it out at
this point. We did, eventually. And actually pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
So
that's one of the problems with the episode.
Yes.
Like, yep, we got it. Cool idea.
Right. So they're still on course to Endicor, by the way. They know right around this time is the switch. Something happens that takes them off course. But they don't know what it is. They don't know why it happens. And they just know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as this keeps going on, the other Picard is, like, getting more and more coherent. This causes real Picard to, like, interrogate him.
Yeah, he starts yelling at him.
Yeah, it was messed up. Like, he's like, look at
himself.
Look at me. And I think part of it was because he's mad at this other Picard, kind of mad at himself for leaving the ship.
Yeah, he represents doubt.
Right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I mean, he would never,
you
know.
What if you knew you were going to screw up?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be frozen.
It'd be like, it's kind of like the, if you ever fantasize about the present you going back in time to like yelling at past you for being such an idiot. I think about that all the time. You know, this is like Picard finally has that chance. And he's just laying into him. And Troy's like, dude, stop. You are a nightmare being to him. Like, he is trapped in some terrible dream world. He can't really see us.
Think about how big of a jerk Picard is to Spooky Picard.
Right.
The entire episode.
Oh, the whole episode. He's awful.
He never gives him, like, a chance. No. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's kind of good that he didn't, but still.
But still, yeah.
Right. Picard leaves, and he's just pissed. And Pulaski has a short conversation with Troy. She's like, you know, I am the doctor. Picard is acting erratic. And we know whatever he does might be what leads to the ship blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
I am the doctor. I do have the power to relieve him. And Troy's kind of taken aback. She says, you know, I don't think that's going to be necessary.
No, Troy is downright offended.
Right.
Yeah.
So while this is going on, Picard's talking to Riker about how and why all of this happened. And he brings up, like, the Traveler thing. Like, you know, that guy just uses mind to go through space-time. Like, what if, you know, what if I did that in the future? What if that happened somehow? We've seen some weird stuff.
Yeah, we know.
You never know.
Time, space, thought, they're all one thing. Yeah. We know that. It's been a while since I dropped that guy.
Yeah, so Riker has to tell him, like, all right, look, you're going to have to put that on hold. I know you love to figure stuff out. That is kind of your job. We can't do that. We can't afford to do that. That's probably how we blow up.
Right.
So whatever we need to do, we just need to stick to the course, kind of stay present in the moment, literally and figuratively, and try not to second guess ourselves. Don't make this more difficult than it needs to be. It's really good advice.
Yeah, that's
from Riker.
Great advice.
So but then all of a sudden, there's this, like, not a black hole. It looks like a black hole in the scanner.
Space just rips open in
space
front of
them. Like, yeah, it's just the huge vortex shows up. You know, my guess is that's probably the thing.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's probably the thing that makes them blow up.
Yeah, decision
just
time.
Just a guess. So
they didn't even hint at this at all.
Oh, no, it just shows up out of nowhere, and then everyone's like, well, this is probably it.
Uh-oh, danger time! And it's like, clearly.
There's like this
space
weird...
Space just ripped open in front of you.
There's this weird computer graphic of like the Enterprise like teetering on the edge of this whirlpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're trying to gun the engines to get away from it, and they can't. Yeah. You know, they just
too
fall
strong.
In. Yeah, they're at, what is it, Event Horizon or whatever. But it's not a black hole because they're not like spaghettified and, you know... Like, no. They're still fine. They're just stuck in a
Do
hole.
Do they explain what it is? It's just
not
like
really.
An anomaly in space.
It's some anomaly in space, but they think it's, like, conscious somehow.
Right, right.
Which has happened before, so I guess they would, you know, come to that conclusion, but they never explain what exactly is going on.
I guess if it makes choice, right, they decide it's conscious.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to, like, send a probe. It blows up the probe. Picard is like, well, you know, we could leave or we could stick around to see what this is. That is kind of our job. I think I said while we were watching this, but like, man, I'd be a terrible captain. Anytime I saw something like that, I'd just be like, yeah, time to get the hell out.
Right.
We got kids on this thing for some reason. For some reason, we brought everyone's kids. They will all die unless we just GTFO to Endor or Endor, wherever the hell we were going.
Yeah.
So. But they can't get out. It doesn't matter. They tried to gun the engines. They couldn't do it.
Picard is basically the captain of a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Who just
He's constantly getting them into trouble. It's a cruise ship with, like, missiles on it.
Right.
Who designed this thing?
The Federation.
All right. So they're stuck.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter if they decide to stay. They're staying. And Picard is, like, starting to second-guess himself already. Riker told him not to do this. About, all right, which is the decision? Which is the mistake?
But how could he not?
Right, yeah. You're stuck in this, and you know this is the moment where something goes wrong, and we've already seen the Enterprise blow up. So what is it that makes it happen? They're trying to, you know, start the warp engines. It doesn't work. They're trying everything. And then, a beam or something hits... goes through the ship and hits Picard. He's like being hit by this weird energy beam.
Yeah. And it hunts him down.
Yeah, it is just him. I don't know how that happens. It's never really explained.
No, not at
why.
All. Well, and it's just this plot device to force him to want to leave the ship.
Right.
It's like, oh, right away the thought is, if I leave the ship, it'll stop shooting me.
And then
it's just shooting you.
Right. And he's thinking that if he leaves, he would sacrifice himself and allow the ship to go free. He's like, well, this thing just wants me. Mm-hmm. So that's the thought that is in his head. He goes to his counterpart, which is in the sick bay still and is not totally conscious, to figure out what's going on. And he started to be more and more aware as it's getting closer to the event. But he's a little groggy, and Picard's like yelling at him. He's just like, "What? Wow, what's going on?
What did you do?
Right, you have to tell me."
Yeah,
and they both are going to the shuttle bay, and it's a really confusing part because they're having this discussion about like, you know, what is going on.
Well, basically, Spooky Picard is like, "I have to get off the ship,"
right?
And real Picard is questioning that,
right? Well, because the other Picard is saying, this, whatever this thing is out there, it recognizes you are the head of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get off, or I got to get off, because all it wants is me. So he's having the thought that Picard just had.
Right. But he's pursuing it.
He's pursuing it because it's 6 hours in the future. Mm-hmm. So both of them are arguing with each other because he's like, no, if you leave, you know, this happens. So I can't let you leave. And they're arguing back and forth in the shuttle bay, and Picard's just like, "Look, I'm gonna get." Or Spooky Picard is like, "No, I'm gonna get on the shuttle, man. You can't stop me." And real Picard is trying to get some information. He's like, "Look, I know there's another choice.
What was your other choice?"
It's like, "Well, it'll never work." He's like, "Okay, well, tell me what will never work because I think we should try that because
it's opposite day to day,
right?
We have
just
to do the opposite of everything.
Just humor me, right. Yeah." And you know, it turns out it is going forward because going forward is like going backward in this vortex because we found out, oh, if we reverse whatever we're supposed to do with the shuttle, that turns it on. If we give the Picard we just picked up a stimulant, it puts him to sleep. So you do the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You get out of the vortex.
Mm-hmm.
Future Picard does not want to do this because it seems like you're heading straight to the head of the vortex. So he just goes right to the shuttle.
Well, he's the decision, like in this time loop,
yes.
He's the decision to leave the ship.
Yes.
Not to go forward.
Yep.
And so you can't break it.
So you can't break it unless you kill him.
Yeah, this is twisted.
So he's getting into
the
shuttle.
This is the plot twist I was talking about.
He's getting into the shuttle,
yeah.
And real Picard, or present Picard, they're both real. He murders a dude.
He murders a dude.
He murders a
version of himself.
He pulls a phaser out and says the cycle must end and just kills the future him.
I'm sure there had to have been like a third option where
you don't
murder
do
yourself.
This. Yeah, you don't do that. But
I loved it. It was awesome.
He realizes if they don't gun the engines forward right into the center of the vortex, this Picard in his time loop will send it out, and you know both the Enterprises are going to blow up.
Right.
And we can't have that.
No, so just kill him.
So he does some kind of weird murder suicide with himself.
It was cool.
That part was kind of cool.
I was just kind of like, whoa, Picard making choices, making them quick.
He definitely did.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
So, well, he should have told him. He should have, like, listened to him.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have both been on the ship together weird Picard duo. But nope. He tried to get on that shuttle, and he couldn't let that happen. Cycle must end, man.
Did the opposite of what Picard would normally do and killed a man.
Yeah. It's opposite day in this vortex. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's dead.
He saved the episode.
Pulaski comes up. He's like, yep, this is definitely
dead.
You committed murder. And Picard goes back to the bridge. You know, he's like, all right, you know, full speed, straight ahead into this vortex. I hope this works. And it turns out it does.
Yeah.
They come out on the other side. They're still on course for wherever they were supposed to go, and everything is fine. I don't know if it will be the same. He just murdered someone. Well, at the end, it's like Picard is in the conference room, and he's looking out at the stars, and Riker comes in, and you know they're kind of debriefing over what just happened. A lot of weird stuff just happened, and Picard is reflecting on it. He says, well, you know, they say if you travel far enough, you meet yourself. I don't think I want to do that again, you know, since I just did that. I would not recommend it.
No.
2 stars. No good. Would not recommend.
Yeah. That's the episode.
Yeah, man. It was pretty weird.
I can just tell that not a lot happened in the episode based on how long we talked about it.
No.
We're still under 30 minutes.
I know. Well, yeah. Not much happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I cut through a lot of bullshit. Because I realized that I just like, I got to talk about this again. And I was like, no, I don't. I really don't have to talk about half of this episode.
No, because
it took forever.
A lot of filler. Yeah.
A lot of filler, and we never found out exactly what the vortex was.
No, they didn't give you any details about the world.
No.
Just psychobabble about reversing things.
They had that long discussion about, well, we have to stay here and figure out what it is, and they never did.
Mm-hmm.
Which they made the correct decision. They got the hell out when they figured out how to get out.
Right.
But they should have tried to get the hell out from the get-go.
Or we didn't need to see them talk about it for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Or however long that was. Well, Patrick, this is the part where we like to rate the episode.
If we thought
it was amazing, the best Star Trek.
Okay.
We set to kill. If we thought it was fine, if it comes up in the queue, you got to check it out.
All right, what do we do?
We set to stun.
Okay.
That's right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if we thought it was boring, no need to watch it. Don't tell your friends about it. We leave it in the holster.
Mm.
So, Patrick, what did you think?
Oh, man. Well, like, the last 5 minutes was pretty awesome.
Right?
Everything before that was just boring. And I can't... I think you should watch the last 5 minutes to see Picard kill himself and someone explain to you in like 2 minutes what the premise of the episode was, but you don't need to watch this thing, man. Leave it in the holster.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leaving it in the holster.
Yeah, it just took forever. They're talking about what they're gonna do and they never do it.
That's
true. Those episodes suck for me.
It doesn't move.
There are
too
many of them, but when there's actually things happening and it's not just people talking about things happening, those episodes rule.
Yeah.
And it started to get really good at the end. Because that's when the time, like, synced up and we could actually move the plot forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. By introducing, like, nothing's going to happen for 6 hours.
Nothing will happen until we get to the point where things happen. Like, they straitjacketed themselves by doing that.
Maybe they were building anticipation.
It was too
much.
We
were all waiting for something to occur, for space to rip open.
It wasn't enough for me.
I know. Well, that's what makes it set to stun for me.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, is... I really like this episode, and I think there's some really great moments, but it was slow, and then the things that happened were not explained. So
nope.
It's not that great. Like, there's no new lore for me to attach to.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but they just murdered himself. It was worth watching.
Yeah, that part was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
If you're, like, doing some laundry or cleaning up the house... Great episode to watch because you can be distracted for
That's
half
true.
Of it and
yeah.
not miss anything.
Yeah, this is something you just like put on if you're on the elliptical or something. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's great workout.
Yeah.
Workout to this episode.
Right.
But don't pop any popcorn to it and settle in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Thank you, everyone that listens to Patrick and leaves reviews. And also, we are wrapping up Politicked Off, which is the show that me and Zach Mast do. We've been doing it all this election year, and it is kind of a slog, but we're going to go out with a bang. Live on election night, November 8th, we will be live streaming our election night broadcast with a friend of the show, Don't Tread. So tune in for that. We will post details about when and where you can watch it. So, look forward to that.
Awesome. And Patrick, speaking of reviews, we got a new one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. We said we would read reviews.
That's right. We did say we would do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep reading them as they come in. iTunes reviews help people find the show. So
that is true.
Yeah. Now this one, I think might spark a little, conversation perhaps.
Uh-oh.
So it is from Silverboy980. The Patricks are hilariously
what?
I don't know.
It cuts off.
It just says the Patrick.
Oh, no.
This is at the top of my list of all-time favorite podcasts. One of my favorite parts of this podcast is anytime they discuss the holodeck and what the crew probably uses it
for. Yeah.
That's a Patrick Winnegar fan right
there.
Yeah.
I promise never to say what I said about how they clean it on the show again. I think we got complaints, but you know what I'm talking about. Silver Boy knows what's up.
It's gross.
It is extremely gross. I regretted saying it as soon as the words came out of my mouth, but...
But, you know, it
it's like an oven
it
cleaner, man. You gotta set it all the way up.
Man. Yeah. Well, yeah, please leave us more of those reviews. They're great. Yeah, just listen to Patrick. That's all I'm doing at the moment.
Yep. We're moving out of the studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're kind of in flux right now, but we will keep recording. So
yeah, we'll keep doing
listening.
This podcast. Yeah, please keep listening. I'm really happy that this episode, shit, I should have read pre-roll. This episode will be the first time we're part of the Chicago Podcast Co-op.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We are part of the Chicago Podcast Co-op now.
Yeah, it's a collection of really awesome podcasts.
If this is for some reason your favorite podcast, you have not listened to many podcasts. Chicago Podcast Co-op is a great center for finding out more stuff. Like, yeah. Hello from the Magic Tavern is on there?
Yeah, well, not anymore. They're now on Earwolf, okay. But they came out of it.
They came out of it.
We were once peers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. So please check out everything they're doing. And listen to Magic Tavern or Improvised
Star Trek.
Yeah,
Improvised Star Trek is
on there.
I almost
said Improvised Pat Trek.
Oh, man.
Which we've got to do that in the future.
That's a very niche audience.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches. Hot sauce.
Get your peaches.